Hello again, I'm True Wilder. It is your business. We talk business, business talk, straight talk. We talk with Stan Sadlak from Steeplechase Advisors, helping businesses for over 50 years. And welcome to our show again, Stan.
Thanks, Drew. How are you today?
I am doing very well, except for the headphones. We were trying to untangle the headphones. Took me, what, 5 minutes? But then I gave them to you, and you unraveled. Well, you unravel problems with businesses, so of course you'd be able to unravel headphones easily.
Hey, that's a great segue.
There you go. Now, you deal with Steeplechase Advisors, who sponsors the show, deals with taxes, insurance, real estate, asset protection, business succession, even personnel problems. And what are we talking about today?
Well, we have a lot of things to talk about, but probably the biggest concern is where are we? I mean, what's going on in this world? What's going on with the economy? I mean, the banks are collapsing, and is that the tip of the iceberg, or is this the beginning of a bigger problem? And ultimately, are we on the precipice of what?
World order.
That is correct. So we'll cover all that today, but I think, you know, we really want to get a sense of how people feel out there. I did have a call in this week from her name is Eileen, her money in a 401k plan, and is thinking of retiring. So her question to me was, well, what do you think about the stock market? Where's it going? And so I wanted to respond to that because it really is not a simple question of what will the stock market do. She was concerned that because of the banking crisis, would that lead to a downturn in the market? So I'm not an investment advisor, but I'll just give you my own two cents worth from looking at business. And that is very simply that this whole banking crisis has simply been triggered by high interest rates.
Right.
What happens is that a bank has to have a liquidity level. Let's say they've invested in bonds that are paying 4%. So if they have $100,000 in bonds paying 4% as their liquidity reserve and interest rates go up to 8%, what will happen is that people won't want their 4% bonds. They'll want the new 8% bonds.
Right, so they pull their money out.
So it brings the value of their 4% bonds from $100,000 down to maybe $50,000. So on their balance sheets, they can't show $100,000 in bonds. They have to show $50,000 in bonds. So they are no longer meeting their liquidity requirements. They have to now go out and get people to bring in more money to build that liquidity reserve back up. So the only way to answer the question where the stock market is going to go and where banks are going to take it is, do we think that interest rates will continue to go up? If interest rates are going to continue to go up in the foreseeable future, and as you know, I said at my first house had a 19% mortgage.
Right.
So if we're on that same pathway due to inflation, which we'll talk about more later, that means the market's going to continue to go down. So I know you asked me a week or so ago, what do I think? When we were chatting, and I said, look, I think in a base right now the market's around 32,000. And I said, in a best case scenario, I think it'll go down to 26,000, 27,000, and in a worst case scenario, 18,000.
So people are going to lose a lot of money. But I mean, the biggest difference between probably when you had 19% interest rates, it was unemployment was like also 18-19%, right? That was the Gerald Ford win, whip inflation now, but unemployment was high too at that time.
Well, typically you tend to get stagflation when you go into that, but we're right now we're still seeing inflation, and that will continue, and I suspect it's going to get a lot worse.
So you run a business, since this show affects businesses, business show, but it affects anyone listening that's a consumer, which is everyone, and the turmoil of inflation, and you got China. And who knows, are they going to take over Taiwan? And you got a crime that's out of sync with the way it should be. And it's just total turmoil, the border. And so how does that affect a business?
Well, let's back up a second. So I was sitting there and I said, well, what are we facing? What are the items that are putting us in the position for a perfect storm? Well, if you take a look at it, we have inflation. Mm-hmm. Just look at the price of eggs. Mm-hmm. I don't need to say anything more.
Yeah.
If you take a look at the war in Ukraine, it's draining our military resources.
Yep.
We now have our China-Russia alliance, which also includes Iran, Venezuela, Cuba, North Korea. Not a good situation. If you then take a look at President Biden and his family getting money from China, which they steadfastly refuse, but the facts are the facts at this point.
Yeah.
If you take a look at all the illegal aliens coming across the border, both in the north and the south, and there's a huge number of Chinese refugees, are all these immigrants, are they Trojan horses or are they refugees?
Right.
We don't know. If you take a look at President Trump about to be indicted on state charges of a federal crime.
Yep.
I mean, that doesn't make sense whatsoever.
Right.
It's politics at its best. You then take a look at the banking crisis that's being precipitated, and Janet Yellen came right out and said that, you know, they want to eventually get rid of the community banks. She inferred that, and they want to go to just big banks.
Or digital currency.
ultimately leading to digital currency.
Control. Government control. Yeah, right. I mean, so this is just a crazy time. I mean, I always say this, but it's true. I mean, I never would have imagined any of this. It's kind of like a banana republic in the United States.
We're heading towards a social credit rating.
Yeah, it's a scary time, but I guess half the population doesn't think it's so scary, which is scary in itself.
And the media keeps trying to frame the narrative and everything. I mean, if you take a look out there, they're always, as we saw with Fox News, they're trying to figure out how are they going to frame the narrative for the coming week.
Right.
Whether you agree with it or disagree with it, they're trying to tell us how to think.
Right. Well, they have meetings every morning and they decide what the core issue is going to be for their viewers. And they dwell that into the ground.
Right. And you look at all the crime in the cities, and now most of the cities, they're lowering their standards of the people they're hiring. In fact, in Memphis, you can have a felony record and become a police officer.
It's unbelievable. You can't make this stuff up,
And then if you take a look at how it affects you and me is our property taxes. You know, local government's always the big and first item on the budget
was
the police department, protection.
Right.
Now it's one of the lowest things on the budget, and our property taxes keep going up and up and up. How far can they continue to go up, Drew? How far?
Right. Well, I always say you never hear anyone talk about cutting spending. It's always about raising spending. And I always say I have a couple of liberal, very good friends and a sister who's very liberal. I always say it's very easy to spend other people's money. But it's more difficult to figure out where you're going to save and not have to raise property taxes. I mean, West Hartford's about to get a big, big property tax increase, so big that they're not revealing what it is. But we got a warning letter.
Well, I always tell the story about my office building. When I bought the building, the property taxes were $25,000. They went up to $144,000. How are you supposed to afford that?
And that's why you have empty storefronts in Hartford.
And that's why a lot of the building owners are going to give the buildings back to the bank and let them pay the property taxes because they don't have the tenants.
Unbelievable.
I mean, all the rents I get go to pay the mortgage and the taxes.
That's why people also move out of Connecticut, right? They just hand it back and move out. But so I mean, if you're a business listening or just everyone's affected by what's going on with the turmoil, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 860-2, something we haven't done, but let's just see if anyone has a comment. 860-243-1360. And let's see. Someone's on the line? Well, that was quick. We never asked for a call. I guess we'll have to start doing that. Who's on the line?
Hi, this is Jay. Good show, guys. I own a business concerning Glastonbury, and I was listening to you guys. And I think some of the details are certainly good to know. I don't think a lot of people know them, but I still sense a very great uneasiness out there when I'm trying to do business. We do business in transportation, food. We hire a lot of part-time people. We're involved in hospitality. We're involved. We have our hands in a lot of different kinds of businesses that we do business with. And what we're getting from everybody is just a general uneasiness and reticence to do anything because they're just not sure what's going on. I don't think that they all know all the really, you know, finer details of the movement towards digital currency or anything like that. They just know that, hey, things are way more expensive than they were.
Mm-hmm. Well, people
and
are busy.
I think aren't going to change for two more years.
Right. And people are just so busy with their lives. They can't follow every detail because it's mind-boggling. Every day there are like more shocking things that are happening. So how do you deal? Are your customers like angry or your employees angry, or is that part of the equation?
I think one of the things we've run into, and it might be every business is facing this, but even the people we deal with seem to be more and more difficult. And I think part of that is due to the fact for two things. One is there's a shortage of available workers out there. Mm-hmm. And what that does is it places an awful lot of pressure on the people that are still working. A lot of people are trying to do the same amount of work with fewer people. And that is really causing, I think, problems within every workplace, that everybody's now overworked. And while we can all say, hey, we were always asked to do more than we used to and get, you know, maybe even paid less, it's just because it's happening over every single industry, because of the worker shortage, and everybody's asked to do more. I think there's just a general, like, not nastiness, but a sense that everybody has that they're being put upon, and everybody's harder to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Say, Jay, do you have any difficulty finding people to work?
Yes, that's a tremendous problem. We overpay for part-time workers, and we still have trouble. And we overpay minimum wage by 40% usually.
Wow.
And it's still difficult to find quality people. They aren't out there. I think a lot of them are in the gig economy or whatever they're doing. I don't know. They moved out of state. I know that the available workforce has dropped in Connecticut. And that's a problem. The unemployment can be low, but that's not an indication of whether there are people out there. If people have left the workforce, then that's the real problem. So yes, we find it very difficult to find people, and everybody's finding it difficult to find people.
Right.
And again, that leads to a worker shortage and general unhappiness in the workplace.
And inflation, right? If you have to pay people more, that contributes to inflation. Part of the problem.
Yeah, again, we work in the food business a little bit, and I talk to a lot of restaurants, just even on a personal level, it's friends of mine, and they are, you know, their biggest struggle is finding people, and the inflation that has hit the grocery category, and, you know, restaurants affect an awful lot.
Yeah.
You know, and when restaurants aren't doing well, they're not buying food, and it affects farmers, and it affects the workplace because they hire restaurants, hire a lot of people. Mm-hmm.
So, Jay, you're in the trenches. So tell me, when you're out there, I mean, do you think inflation is going to get better, stay the same, or get worse?
Well, as a person who follows it as closely as I can, I think it's still going to get worse before it gets better, because I don't think they're going to these minor raises in the interest rates, and I think they're going to do another one soon. Hmm. I don't think they're affecting inflation very much.
So you don't think as we get closer to a presidential election that they would artificially lower inflation right before the election? I mean, it's still a year away, but could that happen?
It's hard. I mean, I think it's hard to do. You know, it's a vast marketplace out there, and sometimes you can't control it. Even if you try and control interest rates, you know, you see what they've done with interest rates, and it really hasn't controlled inflation.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that anybody knows how to control inflation once it sort of starts moving in that direction. There's so many factors involved that I don't know how you stop it. But it multiplies upon itself. Because
it
costs us more, so we charge more. And
right, so
the companies we charge more they have less money now because we're charging them more.
Right.
Now.
It's a ripple
all the way up the chain.
Ripple effect. But first you have to admit that there's a problem, but of course inflation is transitory, so there's no problem.
Yeah, I saw this the other day.
We have terrible people running our country right now. People who have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's time to get adults involved. But no, that's kind of a political thing. But just on a pure business, trying to do business level, it's harder. And COVID's responsible for some of it. It just slowed everything down. We deal with some state agencies. They were closed for like a year. You can't get permits for stuff that you're supposed to get yearly permits for. They've got a backlog of a year and a half now.
Yeah.
And you have to keep a total paper trail of every single thing that you've done. So you get a vehicle that gets pulled over, you can prove, no, we've been trying to get these permits.
Right.
But here's the 25 pages of emails and responses we've gotten that tells us we can't get the permit.
Yeah, the onus is on us.
And so now that causes man hours for me. It's one thing after another. The state was always inept and inefficient, but now it's
more inept. Yeah.
More than inept.
So, Jay, are you going to expand or stay the same or downsize over the next couple of years?
We've been fairly lucky through all of this, despite my sounding like a negative person. Our business is probably going to still not expand people-wise, but it looks like we could forecast higher revenues for probably this year.
Yeah, but are those real revenues, real increases, or inflationary revenues?
Those are real. It's just doing more business.
Okay.
Yeah, you're one of the lucky ones.
We do more business because it comes down to finding the right people that have the right money.
Right.
Because there is money out there. It's just a lot of people can't access the money because they don't have people to access the money. And we think we have enough people. We didn't. We cut staff to the degree that we needed to during COVID, but we didn't, and we got money from the government and followed their regulations and everything and rehired everybody that we needed to. So we're actually in pretty good shape, but I think we're some of the lucky ones.
Yeah. You can only pare the onion so much, and again, talking with our caller and Stan Sadlak from Steeplechase Advisors, and we'll tell you in a few minutes towards the end of the show how you can get a no-fee business consultation. Jay, thanks so much for calling in.
Sorry,
appreciate your listening.
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you.
Thanks,
so, I mean, turmoil. I mean, I only mentioned a few of the things going on in the world. I mean, the list is long, which is the whole point. But what advice would you have? You're running a business. I mean, Jay's in a lucky situation or caller. But what would you tell a business?
Well, I think that's why I said the theme of today's show is we're at the precipice. And I say this very soberly. I'm just not really sure. Are we at the start of World War III?
Or a civil war?
Are we at the start of a civil war, which could happen any day now?
Yeah, which comes first?
Or are we just going through a cycle that we'll twist and turn our way through this woke society and go back to a normal society? And then, lastly, what is the new normalcy? My younger daughter brought it up so well when she said, "Dad, the new normalcy is completely different than what you lived through." I mean, the kids have stayed at home for 2 years. People have not gone to work for 2 years. They work from home. They're now starting to have, obviously, the kids are back in school, but some of the companies only are maybe having their people come in 1 or 2 days a week, it seems strange since the pandemic has been over.
Right.
But people just don't want to go back to work. So what is or what will be the new normalcy? And I think Jay brought up a good point in his call-in, and that is when you ask the question, do you think people care or they know what's going on?
Right.
And so that is really a big question. Do people really, do they really understand where we are at? I understand there are items they have no control over, but I think you really got to think through this carefully, whether you want to go into business, what you want to do in your business. And there are just so many outside factors affecting your business that it's a tough time. And with the banking crisis on the horizon, I imagine it's going to get a lot worse. And it's going to be another 14 to 24 months.
Oh, I thought you were going to say years. But that's still bad. 14 to 24 months. Well, presidential election's a year and a half from now. But
But I don't see what they can do to yeah. bring down the interest rates artificially. I mean, all the federal government, state governments, the political left has weaponized all these institutions. And I'm not really sure what they can do, and I'm not sure what you know. There's a situation where we get bipartisan support, and for the first time, there was a bill that went before President Biden to sign. It was a bipartisan bill.
He
vetoed it.
He vetoed it. Yeah, it's unbelievable. But it really is a key question whether people think this is as bad as what we think or whether they're just not informed because they're so busy with their lives. Because I just always say I can't believe anyone would think that this is good. 46% still think Biden's a good president. It's amazing.
So what I find interesting, so I was looking at a school, and for their incoming
easy
class
to say.
Yeah. of 850 kids, they had 8,500 applications. And so their acceptance rate was only going to be 10%. But if you look on their website, it says 42%. Okay. But at the same time, we have a local university that lost $4 million a year before, and last year lost $14 million. So you're getting more kids than ever going to school, yet all these schools are losing money. And I'll tell you why. Because they're handing out so many freebies that they can't afford to do this. I mean, it's no different than town services. They're doing all these things for people other than protecting the people.
Right. The result usually is the opposite of what the intention is. I mean, you look at, I just read an article about schools, which is hard to believe that, no one gets A's, no one gets B's, but no one gets F's. Everyone is pretty much equal, which is kind of like a communist education system. But the result is going to be dumber people that don't strive. It's like handing out money to people. They lose their incentive. Tax the rich. Well, what's going to happen? You're going to kill the job market even more because those are the people who own businesses, who do the hiring. So it's the opposite of what the intention is.
It's no longer about merit or the best and the brightest. It does not exist.
It is an incredible time.
But it's going to have to come to a head because how far can you push people with the property taxes? I mean, if you take a look at the towns, each of the 169 towns in Connecticut have governments, town governments. Many have their own police forces. They cannot find people to be finance officers, find people to be administrators because they don't pay that well.
Right.
So inevitably, they're going to have to consolidate. Whether we like it or we don't like it, it's coming.
And we're doing a show on just that with one of the heads of the towns in our listening area talking about county government. Maybe that's the way that they have to cut back.
Well, it's been on the table, off the table for 100 years.
Right.
But as we continue to have inflation and we continue to have all these giveaway programs, it's inevitable.
Yeah, they're not going to cut back, and they're not going to cut back the spending, so they got to come up with some other solution. I mean, they would never talk. I never hear anyone talk about cutting spending. It's just not even in the wavelength of what they do in politics these days. And I blame that on the Republicans, too. To some point, they do, but not that much because it's politically unpopular.
Right. And hey, look, when I went to college, it was $5,000 a year. That same school today is $77,000. I mean, who can afford that?
Yeah, that's and then they do handouts.
Well, that's what happens. So instead of going for the best and the brightest, you know, they end up giving away an awful lot of scholarships.
And the demand goes up, and then schools raise the tuition even more. It's the right. unintended consequence.
Right. So in the last few years, a number of schools have gone belly up, and a lot more will. I mean, this is on the horizon. I mean, if you take a look at University of Connecticut, many of the professors there they get paid $300,000 a year.
And have tenure.
And they work part-time.
Yeah, it's like being a government worker. Talking about our past show, one of my neighbors on a huge pension, and he did what a lot of people do, moved out of Connecticut, moved to Florida.
That's what they all do.
It's unbelievable. But turmoil, running a business, turmoil in just living. It's a remarkable time. It's And more remarkable, again, that some people don't think it's remarkable, that they just think this is okay. I mean, you wonder, do people just get used to what goes on? I mean, that kind of reminds me of a communist country where people don't rebel and protest, of which they are doing in some other countries that, that have evil governments.
The government wants to dumb us down. They, you know, they want people to be brain dead. I mean, that's pretty obvious. And if anybody, you know, stands up, there was a fellow who is from Saudi Arabia, lives here in the United States, mm-hmm. made some negative comments on Twitter, didn't think twice about it, went to Saudi Arabia to visit his family, mm-hmm. and they arrested him in Saudi Arabia and sentenced him to 19 years in jail for a Twitter report. And the U.S. government intervened and got him out, but he can't leave the country for 19 years.
Right. So you wonder how many people, when you believe the polls or don't believe the polls, how many people want to vote Republican or Trump or DeSantis, but won't give their opinion. They're afraid they'll be locked up. I mean, it's nuts.
Right.
Crazy. Stan Sadlak, Steeplechase Advisors, brings you the show. They're in Hartford over 50 years helping businesses with taxes, real estate, insurance, business succession, even personnel problems. And Stan, wow, this went fast, and we thank Jay for calling in. We haven't done that before. Maybe we'll do that again in the future. Turmoil running a business, turmoil in just living, in breathing. It is crazy times. But what's not crazy is sorting things out in your business. And how do people talk to you and get you charge a no-fee consultation for your business?
Yep. So give me a call at 860-524-3408 or Stan at stsworld.net or listen to our podcast. And on that note, Drew, I will tell you that as my daughter said to me last night, she said, "Dad, what do you see when you look into your dog's eyes?"
Huh.
And I thought, wow, first, you know, that's kind of a crazy question.
Right.
And then I thought about it and I said, you know, she's pretty astute here. And I said, "Well, what is it?" She said, "Well, you could see yourself. You could see your dog. You could see a reflection of your thoughts. And if you carry that out, but it's very interesting. So when you look into your dog's eyes, what do you see? Because dogs are man's best friend."
That's fascinating. I'm going to get a dog just so I can find out. 860-524-3408 for Stan Sadlak from Steeplechase Advisors. No fee business consultation. 860-524-3408. I'm Drew Wilder. It is your business. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.